A reading from the book of Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verses 1 through 28. Now even the first covenant had regulations for worship and an earthly place of holiness. For a tent was prepared, the first section in which were the lampstand and the table of the bread of the presence. It is called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a second section called the most holy place, having the golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden urn holding the manna and Aaron's staff that budded and the tablets of the covenant. Above it were the cherubim of the glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. These preparations having thus been made, the priests go regularly into the first section, performing their ritual duties. But into the second, only the high priest goes, and he but once a year, and not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the unintentional sins of the people. By this, the Holy Spirit indicates that the way into the holy places is not yet opened as long as the first section is still standing, which is symbolic for the present age. According to this arrangement, gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper, but deal only with food and drink and various washings, regulations for the body imposed until the time of Reformation. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by the means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls, and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer, sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our consciences from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgression committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who has made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you." And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Thus it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is entered not into the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own, for then he would have to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For our meditation on God's word, we welcome Pastor Kevin Jennings, Mount Olive Lutheran Church, Corpus Christi, Texas.
Alleluia, Christ is risen. Those words, Alleluia, Christ is risen, sound so great the day after we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. We now stand in the glow of Easter, a blessed Paschal tide to you all. For the devotion today, I want to read a few verses from Hebrews 9, verses 11 to 14 to be exact. But when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by the means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Like I said before, we're now in the glow of Easter, the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. As I record this message, I am waiting for the annual celebration of Easter with bunnies. Many years ago, when I was in high school, my chemistry teacher was greeted by a fellow student. The student said, "Happy Easter." His response, "Roast the Easter bunny." I couldn't agree more, Mr. Claiborne. In fact, the neatness and frivolity of the modern Easter celebration misses the whole point. The writer of Hebrews doesn't allow any of it. The verses I just read tell us something very real about the resurrection of our Lord. There was a bloody death before it. Jesus had to die. His life's blood had to be shed. It has to be that way and no other. Way back in the Garden of Eden, God told Adam about obeying his command. "Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you do," God said, "on the day you eat of it, you will surely die." That meant blood had to be shed in payment for sin. That's why when the man and the woman were banished from the garden, the Lord God fashioned for them garments of skin to cover their shame. The first blood shed was the animals from which the skins came. Blood has to be shed to cover sin. That's the way of the Old Testament sacrifices, too. Blood was shed, and receiving the blood, the Lord made atonement for his people's sin. It happened that way every year on the Day of Atonement. Year after year, high priest after high priest offered the blood in the Holy of Holies, not only for the sins of the people, but for his own. Now, Jesus has offered himself. He has entered the Holy of Holies, presenting to his Father his own blood to cover all sin, our sin. Now there is one sacrifice, Jesus. His blood covers our sin as he died our death at his cross. And early in the morning on the first day of the week, the words are sounded telling that the sacrifice is complete, that life now reigns. The church has been hearing those words for 2 millennia and never tires of hearing them. He is risen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
We thank Pastor Kevin Jennings for this meditation on God's Word.